I encourage you to keep the sermon outline handy, and you'll see it's got plenty of space for writing this week, so go nuts. But the passage is the most important thing. Look, we're continuing in our series from the book of Acts with the theme, the unstoppable gospel. And what we see as we read through it, it doesn't matter what the obstacle, it is unstoppable. And that also, as we're going to see today, by the Spirit, that there's opportunities that the gospel is able to get into. It truly is unstoppable. It's a really exciting book because it's about the beginning of the church, our church, and it helps us to see what God's plans and intentions were, particularly once Jesus has finished his earthly ministry. And so today we come to recording of one of the most important days in human history. The outpouring begins. It's when the outpouring begins. And so today we're hearing about the Holy Spirit coming upon believers. And I think John Stott, who is a great commentator, and he's written a commentary on the book of Acts, he kind of helps us to understand just how significant this passage, this moment in human history is with this quote. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. And just to make it really clear, as a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. This is a really important passage. And I don't know what you believe about the Holy Spirit, but God is saying to us today that followers of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. All followers of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. No exceptions, only excitement. So let's pray that we'd hear God speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to hear you speak to us this morning. What we know not, teach us. What we have not, give to us. And what we are not, make us. And we pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, it actually has two parts to it. One is the description of this particular event, and then the second part is an explanation of what's just happened. So that's really simple and it's really helpful. All right, so that's what we're going to have a look at. Firstly, we're going to see the day everything changed. Nothing in human history was ever the same again after this day. And it's talking about the day called Pentecost. You might have heard that word before in the church. It means 50 or 50 days. And actually, it was a Jewish festival before we kind of took it. And it was about the harvest festival or first fruits. 50 days from the Passover, or as we remember, Jesus' death, they would celebrate the first of the first fruits of God's provision. And boy, on this day, does he provide. And so it begins in a very ordinary room. It wasn't in a fancy church or temple or anything like that. It's likely that somehow they've crammed into this space 120 followers of Jesus. We kind of have that, maybe an idea of that from chapter 1. And then in this moment, we have sound, sight, and speech. They're the three things that Philip Jensen in his commentary helpfully picks up. So let's have a look at it. Beginning of verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We have this sound, and it's important to notice it's something like a sound, like fire. It's not the exact thing, but it's like a violent wind. I'm sure we've all heard a really strong kind of rattling the windows, a sound of wind that you can so hear. maybe even heard that roar. I have a couple of times, especially out on the ocean and things. It's a violent thing. It's got force. But this actually is picking up similar occurrences in the Old Testament. Quite common when God's presence is made known or symbolized, that there's a wind that comes, quite a strong wind. But it's not only that image that's picked up. In Ezekiel 37, you have this really vivid and awesome picture of a valley just full of bones. And God said, I'm going to bring life to my people again. It's an awesome passage. And, sinew and flesh and veins and all this stuff eventually gets put onto this body. But it's the wind that comes and gives life to these bodies. And that's part of what we're seeing here. Not only do we have sound, we also have sight. The sight of something like flames. Fortunately for everybody's hair that had it, it wasn't real flames. They weren't getting burnt. It was like a flame. And again, Old Testament has moments where God's presence is there, like the bush that didn't burn with Moses. And then on Mount Sinai, when God appears to his people, there's smoke and fire and lightning all on the mountain. It's all full on. And so it's picking up that idea of the presence of God. And then finally we have speech. And immediately, the disciples in this room are all speaking different languages. Real, known languages, but totally new to them. I kind of think that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? To just suddenly be able to speak a language. Maybe you'd wish you could choose what it is, but still, to be able to suddenly speak a different language, that's pretty phenomenal. And that's exactly what's happening here. This is a phenomenal day. Part of this language thing, as we see, is that even the barrier of language is now unstoppable before the gospel. But all of this sound, sight, speech, is to display to the disciples there and to us that this is a day where everything has changed. It was a day that was promised in the Old Testament. If you're taking notes, a great passage of God's promise of the Spirit is Ezekiel 36:26. That's how I remember it, 36:26. And it's where God promises that he'll take our heart of stone and give us that heart of flesh. This is something that God has promised. It's something that God's people have been waiting for. And in fact, the promises increase in intensity when Jesus comes. All four Gospels at the very beginning record a promise of baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's through John the Baptist. He says, I'm doing water, but one greater than me is going to do baptism in the Spirit. In fact, in Matthew 3:11, he actually says, Spirit and fire, like what's just happened. But it's not at the beginning. All four of them at the end talk about this baptism in the Spirit, and Jesus spoke about it. But especially we've seen already in Acts, in chapter 1, Jesus has promised the guys, look, just wait here. You've got to wait because you're going to come and you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in verse 5. Then in verse 8, he's saying, wait, because you're going to be empowered by the Spirit, having been baptized, to be my witnesses. And so here is the day when we read, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. This is an awesome image. It's kind of picturing people like us as vessels. We hear this language of being filled. I love it. It's filled to overflowing. There's a sense of it's not just a little bit, no, completely filled with the very Spirit of God. Then down in chapter 2, verse 17 there, where Peter's speaking from Joel, God promises, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And so from God it's poured, and into us we're filled. It's an incredible image. You see, Jesus has finished his earthly ministry. In chapter 1, we heard about how, having died, risen, he has now ascended into heaven and is ruling. But he hasn't just kind of gone, oh, okay, see you later, guys. That's the whole promise. He is going to continue his ministry by the Holy Spirit that he promised to send to unite us not only to himself by the Spirit, but also to each other, so that his mission continues as he rules from heaven. This is a big day. And what it means for church is church, this gathering, it's not just a club. It can't just be a club. When I think about clubs, I don't know why, but I think of Happy Days. And you know the old show? And Mr. C, every so often in the episodes, he'd put on his strange leopard hat because he belonged to the Leopard Lodge. And there were secret things and he belonged and it was all about the Grand Poobah and one guy had horns. It was ridiculous. And that's what happens when we design our own little clubs. Church is not a club. And it cannot be just limited to, oh, it's something that I do on a Sunday. This day, everything changed because God came to fill us with himself. This is personal. It's relational. It brings us into an intimacy with the God of the universe by the Holy Spirit. That's what God was promising. That's what's just happened. And it's so incredible that they can't contain it. They sort of burst out of this room, 120 people speaking all these different languages. Maybe that's the noise that draws people, or maybe it was also the wind, but a crowd forms from all the nations around. And they're confused, not because they don't understand, but because they do understand what's being said. And they, hang on, I'm from way over there. I'm from one of the four points of the compass, but you guys are talking in my language. You're locals. This is extraordinary. And as we're told in verse 11, they're saying, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. These are Jews and converts to Judaism, in a sense, from the ends of the earth. And they're brought here and they're hearing them speak about the wonders of God. Jesus' birth, the Son of God, being born, ministry, dying on the cross and rising to new life. This is the first outpouring of the Spirit. And here what we see of all the different things that the Spirit could have done, moved people to be able to do, it's the power to proclaim, just like Jesus said in chapter 1, verse 8. And that's why we're going to see Peter. What's the first thing he does is he grabs God's word and he teaches from it in the power of the Spirit. This is not a moment where they are doing wonders. It is where they are telling the wonders of God. That's what happens when the outpouring begins. There are many different things that come from the Spirit filling us, but clearly here what we see is this power, this unique outpouring is proclaiming. But it is unique. It doesn't ever happen like this again through the rest of the New Testament or even recorded in the church, this sound, sight and speech in different languages. Because what's happening here is God showing I'm fulfilling my promise. I kept my promise. And it's a big day. It can't just be thought of as any other day. Oh yeah, that just kind of happens at our church. No, this is big. It's also about establishing the apostolic authority. These men are going to be the ones who share the truth of Jesus, the living, risen Jesus. And it's establishing them as those who have the Spirit of God. And finally, it's a way of showing right here at the very beginning, it is for all nations, not just for the Jews. Well, this is the day where everything changed, but it's also when the end begins. When the end of human history begins is this day. The Apostle Peter, he's an apostle, he's got the Spirit. He now explains what's just happened using Joel chapter 2. And so he says in verse 17 there, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In these last days, he's saying, right, this is the signal. The last days have begun. When the Spirit of God comes on all people. Do you see that emphasis? Young, old, men, women. It's through the Spirit that Peter now picks up this passage of all the passages he could have picked up in the Old Testament to say, this is the explanation of what's happening. It is for all people. As he continues in verse 18, even on my servants, even on those who are seemingly lowly, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. No longer is it just God's special nation of Israel. No, it's all nations. It's not just a tribe like the Levites, the priests. In fact, in the Old Testament, special people for special tasks only got the Spirit, like Moses and judges or kings like Saul and David. And the people would have expected, oh, if you're a prophet, a priest or a king, yep, you're the kind of person. No, what's happening here on this day is ordinary people. Ordinary men and women like you and me are receiving the very Spirit of God, being filled up, baptized in it. To a Jew in those days, it would have been a massive scandal. The idea that followers of a man who was crucified would get the Spirit of God. But that's exactly what's happening. And God is continuing to pour out His Spirit on all people, from all nations, from that day. We see it a number of times through the book of Acts, as others are filled with the Spirit. But we also know it today, that as we come to a belief in Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're filled. It all happens together. And this is what Paul tells Titus in his letter to him in chapter 3, verses 4 and continuing. It's up on the screen. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, that's Jesus, He saved us, not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Spirit. Rebirth because our sins are washed away and we get a new life in Jesus through His resurrection. And renewal by the Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. To be converted is a word we use, or to come to faith is to be saved and filled with the Spirit. And that continues. And that's what's happening in this time, that people are turning to Christ and being filled with the Spirit right up until the end. That's why Peter then goes on, in quoting Joel, to talk about these big visions of really the end times, of blood and the sun going dark and the moon of blood. Funnily enough, they've seen similar things on the day Jesus died, that judgment day. But what he's talking about is it's going to happen until the great and glorious day of the Lord, that final judgment day. And there's a sense of urgency is what Peter's trying to convey here. That this has begun now, and we have until this full-on judgment day of God. This is why the Spirit has come, to empower us to proclaim, until it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because all followers of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. No exceptions, only excitement. Why no exceptions? Well, I think we can do the accept thing in a couple of ways. The first one is accept me. Oh, I see great Christians all over the place. They clearly have the Spirit. Accept me, because I'm not worthy enough, or I'm not good enough as a Christian. I don't think or I feel it. Or maybe you even doubt that you're filled with the Spirit. Well, please hear 2 Corinthians 1:21 and have this assurance. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. That's God. He anointed us. He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. There is no exceptions. There's no except me. There's also no except them. As if we look at other people, they're not good enough or they're not spiritual enough. Oh, we've got it. Everybody does except for them. Now, we've clearly seen here, as Peter has unpacked what's just happened, he said, God is saying, I promised my Spirit would fall on all people, all nations. There is no exception, only excitement. An excitement to speak the wonders of God. of Jesus' death as our Savior, His rising to new life as the King and the one who can give us new life, a life that we can talk about of being alive with Christ. Now, I know as soon as we talk about us speaking the wonders of God, we can get into all sorts of thoughts of, oh, I don't know if I can do that, I don't know anybody, all these sorts of things. Look, just for a moment, I think today we're being called on to put that aside and actually look at what the Spirit does. Don't look at me, don't look at the people around me, don't look at my circumstances, just look at the Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do and will do. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we have an unstoppable gospel. And look at what He did that day. This is a day to be, we're being called to trust in the power of the Spirit. Not ourselves, but the power of the Spirit. And to trust in the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to point to Christ. And so if that's something new for you, I encourage you to pray that God help me to trust in the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, that I might, filled with the Spirit, speak the wonders of God to other followers of Jesus and to those who are not yet followers of Him. The other encouragement that I want to give us is that we are reminded today of the importance of our mission partners, those who will take the wonders of God, the good news of the gospel, to places where people don't speak our language and don't hear of the great news of Jesus. And so today we're being encouraged to remember that's exactly what the Spirit is wanting to do through them as they go to nations, as they learn languages, so that others will be able to call on the name Jesus and be saved. It's a new year. I encourage you, make sure you're partnering with God's global mission. Our church mission partners, the Friends, they leave for Madagascar in 5 days. I'm sure they're very excited as well as a little bit nervous-sighted maybe. Look, let's be praying for them, supporting them as we partner with them as they go and take the good news of Jesus. Because all followers of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. No exceptions, only excitement. And I'm going to close using the words of a hymn by Charles Wesley as our prayer. O Thou who camest from above, the fire celestial to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for Thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Amen.